Hello and welcome back to the Music Creative Podcast with me, Hugh, or 93 Acres. And today I have a very special friend with me, Mike, or Seba Safe, what like are you?
Hello, sure Mike. Mike is good.
Mike.
It's Sebastian to you, sir.
Full names only. Oh, God. Sebastian Safe, Seba Safe.
I'm trying to think of the last time I saw you.
It's probably before the pandemic.
I think so. We're old men now.
Ah, yes, over the hill and far away.
Was it when we recorded together? Was that literally the last time I saw you?
Could have been.
Or one of the Vita sessions. I think I saw you at a Vita session. No, that was before.
Not Vita.
Was that before or after? Oh. I don't know.
My last live gig was it was in February, and it was a Vita sessions in Workman's in Dublin.
I think that could have been it.
Yeah, I don't know if you were that one, because it was funny. The first time we decided to write tunes together, we met at this recording session. No, it was not a recording session. It was like a live gig thing. A gig, that's what they call them.
That's what they call them.
I remember gigs back in my day.
I remember you.
But yeah, so that was, yeah, writing the song together. Remember you stayed over mine one night just to get it finished.
Yeah, it was, I love that song, man. I love that song.
Buckle End, yeah. That song has so many cool things in it, especially the ending.
Oh yeah,
just weird spooky movie vibes.
I've been writing a kind of a spooky another spooky one that I have you in mind for. I think it could be, I think we should, if every time we work together, I think it should be spooky.
We got spooky vibes here.
Keep it spooky, baby.
Oh god. And today we've come together with our good dear friend Sebastian here with Mike here to talk about songwriting tips. Mike has an extreme extreme credentials of writing songs in the past, of all types of genres, and most recently folk music is, I suppose, something that you'd be comfortable with.
Yeah,
and experimental.
Yes,
not afraid of pushing the boundaries in the envelope and finding something new and unique, while also knowing all the, what would you call it, the rules and structures that, you know, you learn in college. You learnt in college, right? You were studying in BIM.
Yeah, I went to songwriting in BIM. A scary place.
Where you have to go learn stuff.
Yeah.
And so today we're going to learn everything you knew from college, I suppose, and everything you've learned since and from before, perhaps.
Chapter one.
Chapter one will be all about chords, melody, lyrics. Chapter two will be, should you write chorus or verses first? Chapter three will be totally on lyrics, and if you need thesauruses or dictionaries to help you write songs, use everything you can to help you. Well, chapter four, I can't even remember what chapter I'm on. Chapter four, we're going to look at instruments, writing chords. And in chapter five, we'll look at production.
Production
and how to produce songs. Chapter six is going to be on co-writing and if it's good, bad, the pros and cons. And then our final chapter of today's lesson will be all on advice, your final advice, how we sum it all up together, all the chapters in one.
Excellent. So something for the kids.
Something for the kids. No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. It gets the people going. All right. Super. Oh, without further ado, Mike, once again, I have to say it's so good to have you on.
Man, thank you very much for having me. This is lovely.
Yeah, I think the listeners can tell how excited we are to actually chat together.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
For the first time in, two years anyway, at least.
That's mad.
But we do keep in contact.
We do. And you play lovely strings for me when you can.
That is true. That's our most recent virtual hangout, yeah. I suppose, not in person. Writing some strings for your beautiful tunes, one of which was Oscar. That's just released recently.
Yes.
Oh, man, you timed that so well. I know it has to be totally on purpose, but a song called Oscars, released by the Oscars.
The funny thing is, I didn't even know when the Oscars were, and then they obviously, the people releasing it did. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Very good.
Your management were playing a smart game.
They were.
So smart, not even you picked up on it.
Yeah. They're smarter than I.
Genius. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have to get a podcast about how to release tunes in the perfect right time.
Yeah, but then Will Smith stole my thunder anyway, the bastard. So.
Yeah, or maybe he made the Oscars. Yeah, that's true. Maybe he made the Oscars so more noteworthy so that anyone, like Oscars, searching Oscars, and you might appear in some searches.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that would be nice.
But your strings, honestly, in that were so, so delicious.
Thank you. Yeah, I like playing strings on nice tracks. It's very easy to do when there's lovely melodies and chords and you just intertwine. Makes it very easy. So, Let's start with my question number one. Chapter one, the introduction.
Excellent.
I think we've skipped about four chapters already, but we're still going. We're having fun. That's the main thing. So just how about we give the listeners a bit more background into you? I know we talked about you going to college and all that kind of stuff, but tell me your musical journey. Where did it start and where is it now?
I suppose, like most, it started as a long-haired, spotty, grunge metal fan who wanted to be Kurt Cobain, basically. And then from that, it snowballed into crying folk songs.
It's a natural progression.
Yeah. It's a natural trajectory.
Following Darwin's theory.
Yeah, just like that, I picked up a guitar and just started writing songs and realized it was something I've always wanted to do. And something I will hopefully always do.
Yeah, that's the dream. It's the dream. So when did you decide to go to college? Did you always know you wanted to, like, keep studying music? Was music your only option? Like, as in, not that I mean it was your only option, but like, it was the only thing you actually were passionately interested in, or you were like, I love it so much?
I actually went to college twice before I went to film, but I got out before the change of mind twice. So the first course was a ridiculous course called, I think it was creative and cultural industries, that I think the dropout rate was like 80 or 90%. It was just a made up course that year that was, I don't think the people that like thought it out themselves. And then secondly, I went to Galway to do arts, but then broke my ankle in Freshers Week and then didn't want to hobble around on crutches for the first semester, so I got out before the change of mind again. And then my third try, I went to BIM for songwriting, which probably happened for a reason, which is nice. I broke my ankle for a reason.
Yeah, all pain leads to gain, isn't that right? That's it. As the famous phrase goes. Wow, that's interesting. That's really interesting. And before you broke your ankle, what were you thinking when you applied the first two times that you didn't do music? Were you thinking about music at that time? And how did you come to the first two results of not going down the music route?
I think it's one of those things where a lot of people say to you, Joey, but yeah, better have a plan B. It's great to have a plan B. They kind of scared it into me. And then, sure, BIM wasn't around then. So, and then it opened. I was like, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, and we should probably clarify what BIM is to our international listeners. BIM stands for, is it the Brighton Institute of Music?
Modern Music, yeah.
Modern Music.
It would have been DIM for Dublin, but they couldn't do that, so they just kept with the original.
Totally different meaning. That makes sense. I always wondered why did they just keep the Brighton name, even though this one's not in Brighton. But yeah, so BIM is it's like basically Modern Music as it calls itself. Studying modern music, not the old school way.
And the industry, yeah. Contemporary, modern music.
Modern music. I feel like that's so interesting, though, just going back to how, you know, I suffered the same myself, where people tell you, oh, it's a great backup. Yeah. Would you not think of going into the teaching? Would you not think of something a bit more solid? Which was the way that our parents grew up, you know, that generation was told to get a steady career, and it is a career, and you have one job in that career, and you stick with it. But nowadays things are changing. You can have multiple jobs.
Yeah. I think of a thing with music as well. People, you say you're at the music, you know, and they say what they have in their mind is like, oh, you want to be fucking Ed Sheeran or Justin Bieber in that top 1 or 0.5% of massively successful artists. But there's so much space for everyone within the industry, even if, you know, there's so many different genres, so many different stages of whatever fame or whatever success means to you within that, there you can definitely succeed and be happy within your own little realm and world.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, there's such a discrepancy between, like, you don't, like, being Ed Sheeran and then being someone who, you know, releases your own music, plays the gigs and like travels around, and it doesn't have to be like world tours. It could even be like, say, Ireland and UK for our where we're situated in the world, or it could be every now and then we do some cool showcase festivals in Germany or whatever. You don't have to be a global sensation to make a full career.
Yeah, and you can live quite happily on the means of that type of career as well. Which is nice. Which is like, I would die happy if I had that. If I could just live comfortably enough while doing that, that's the goal.
This is it. Gee, that'll be a great place to leave the podcast if we stopped it now. Amen. <See ya>. But it's so true. Like, chasing, like, the end goal You know, it's all about enjoying the process, enjoying whatever you are doing and being happy instead of like, you know, being stuck in something you're not fully enjoying. Mm. I know it can be difficult and you probably have to make, well, you definitely have to make hard choices through it.
Yeah.
And even coming around to the realization that it is possible to have a career in something that's not making you Ed Sheeran kind of money, but it's making you, you know, more than minimum wage, say, something that you can live on if you find maybe you have to make sacrifices, move to a town that's cheaper to live in or outside the city in a suburb until maybe you make it a bit further down your career line and then you can start making some bigger moves.
Yeah, it's like you're probably going to be miserable if you don't do it, and why not be miserable while doing it?
That's something I can definitely get behind. That's very good. And was there a particular moment in time where you were like, okay, this is it, I want to do music full time, no more of this taking influence from people who grew up 30 years ago and that was the only way to do it? When did you decide like, okay, I'm really going to give this a good full go?
Well, to be honest, I'm still getting there. Because I spent a lot of years, especially even college times, just fucking going out all the time, having the crack and not really putting enough into it that I should have been. But I think in like 2018, I'll say, was like, I was like, right, cop the hell on, let's actually really do this. I was like writing continuously the whole time, but I wasn't really, you know, showing many people what I had been writing. So I thought, under this name, Seba Safe, was really when I, the first time I really started doing it properly, I would say, which is a bit ridiculous how long it took me to do it, but sure, look, I was in the writing stages.
But I love your honesty, because it does, like, you know, whenever you hear success stories, you always hear about only the positive side of things. You never hear about, you know, the mental turmoil that goes through getting to that. And it doesn't happen overnight. It happens overnight for very few people.
Definitely. It was funny, even in the BIM environment, the college environment, I definitely sank in that environment, like surrounded by such creative people and amazing songwriters. I definitely didn't flourish in that environment. It just scared the hell out of me, just knowing how much like amazing artists there are out there. And it's like one pocket in one city. So I was like, oh God. So I have to kind of block that out of my head as well and just do your own thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, I tell you, we can really do a philosophical podcast on this. It's so interesting because you're so open and honest, and I really appreciate it. Like, it's, yeah, that the mental battle is pretty much, it could nearly be 70% of the battle.
Oh yeah.
As opposed to the actually releasing the music and anything like that.
Yeah. And then when you release the music, it adds the other 30% of mental battle.
Yeah, exactly. It's all mental. Yeah, but that's yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense.
It's a funny old road, really, but
we enjoy it.
It's a good road. I do.
Yeah. You get to dance along to songs now and then.
Yeah, yeah.
And what about songwriting at the beginning? But say before you went into college, was there particular styles of songs you were writing, Kurt Cobain influenced?
Definitely. They were definitely more emo back then, I'd say.
Were you following the typical structure, your verse, chorus, bridge, chorus?
Yeah, I suppose definitely, yeah. But I think maybe it's a bad thing. I haven't really strayed too far off that, but maybe I suppose I have. But yeah, usually I'd keep it quite structured that way. Verse two is a big thing for me. I love a juicy verse two. Sometimes I'll start there, but I'm not too sure. Verse twos are nice.
Yeah, I have to say, because that's something I think your real strong point is, your lyrics are so vivid. Your storytelling is amazing. Like, it's just so emotive, you know.
Right, thank you.
Like, I remember when, like, even House, I was really struck that time when you came back to me with lyrics for the song we did together, Buckle End.
Yeah.
And it was like, in the verse two, it was like nearly like a murder scene. Yeah. I was like, wow, this is emotive. This is really like visual. You know, like, I can see what you're talking about. Or like, in your most recent song, Oscars, I just love the wordplay and just like the honesty.
Yeah.
You know, your smile is, you've gotten so good at making your your fake smiles. You should be in the Oscars, like.
Why so am I in the Oscars?
This is the truth. And you don't slap people. You're nice and civil.
I think if when it comes to writing it, that is my thing, I think, is trying to be as honest or just from personal experience, I think I like to write from. That's probably 90%. 95% of my songs, and if it isn't something that happened to me personally, it's probably from a dream, which is kind of personal too, I guess. So
that's really cool. And how would you tend to write your lyrics then through that? Would it be very cryptic or just open and honest, or a combination of both?
Yeah, probably open and honest more than cryptic. Maybe, I'm not too sure actually if it is cryptic, I'm being cryptic to myself. I'm trying to think, am I cryptic? I'm not too sure.
If I was to have a personal opinion on it, I think you're a combination of both.
Excellent. We'll go with that.
I feel like you'll come out. Yeah, you'll have like a one liner that is pure honesty. I think some of them are like meant to be read and understood at face level, but then you've lots of double entendres then, and like lots of stuff that are like, okay, but you're not actually talking about a murder here. Like, just to go back to verse 2 in Bookland, you're not necessarily talking about a murder, but it's a, you know, a metaphorical lyric. And I feel really cool that you just have that combination of both. I think it is good to mess with both, because neither one is better than the other. It just depends on what you prefer.
Yeah, I suppose in the end, you could overkill either one. So I suppose the mix is nice. It's nice to do.
Absolutely. Because like, you do have a lot of mixture, like, in pop land. In pop land. We can see here some native honest lyrics, but then there's also like a combination of, I think it's more often than not kind of quite, you know, first thing that pops into my head is, you turn me on like a light switch. That Charlie Puth thing is like, oh, that's pretty much just, that's a simile, that's just honest, and just like, oh, there you go, not much reading into that one,
there it is.
But like, there's that doesn't mean there's not room for wordplay, because I think it's great to have some sort of cryptic lyrics that each listener can take their own meaning out of and feel a bit more connected to the song through it.
Yeah, it's funny the honesty thing is a funny one, because I have a song called Lilo that I haven't recorded yet, but I showed it to a friend of mine, and there's a lot of names in it.
Oh wow.
And he was like, oh, I presume all those names are changed, are they? And I was like, no. And he was like, Jesus, that's brave. And I was like, fuck, is it? And like, I didn't even thought about it. I was like, oh, maybe it is, but they're in it now.
Mm. Yeah, but then who knows, 5 years down the line they'll be like, oh, look how cool this is, I'm in this song. Everybody go listen to this song where he's calling me a awful human being. But then going on to our chapter 2, we were talking about our lyrics. Or was it chapter 3? We were talking about our lyrics, and would you be tending to write the chords, melody, or the lyrics first? Like the vocal melody or the lyrics?
Yeah, it's a question that always comes up. It's a funny one. I think if I have a lyrical idea, then I might start with the lyrics. But usually I will noodle with the guitar and sing kind of gibberish, sing gibberish words that sound like a nice melody over the chords, and then kind of start forming them into real usable language.
That's what they call it these days, language.
I think that is probably my go-to, is the kind of gibberish into lyrics, unless I have an idea first or I have a little wordplay that I'd like to try.
Yeah, I get you. I think that makes a lot of sense, because instantly you have a kind of interesting rhythm and melody that works with the chords.
Mm. The only thing is, and sometimes then, you have a great one, but then you just actually can't fit words into it. So it can go against you sometimes, but it is nice.
Absolutely. And do you ever have, like, say, poetry written out, so it's just lyrics, and then you're trying to put that onto song later?
I did that recently, actually. It's a story with this guy and a girl, and he's I suppose the whole theme of the song is self-esteem, I guess, but I'm not too sure. But it's a guy who's kind of he's in this great relationship with this girl, and they're having the whole thing is like a day in the life of their relationship. But the whole time he's like, this is too good to be true, and in the back of his head somewhere he's like, she's an alien, like he thinks she might be an alien.
I love that.
And that's the premise. So I wrote that whole thing out, and then I got a song, got chords to it, but I can't. Yeah,
that's class.
Very rarely do that.
Do you find that more difficult just because you've less practice at it, or
no, I actually really enjoyed that, actually, because it was kind of all the lyrics were just there ready to go, and then you can just kind of mess around with it. So yeah, it was nice, I enjoyed it.
Probably good to have those different options if you're having writer's block or just a day that you're not really feeling it, and then you have kind of something to try a different technique nearly. Do you ever find that?
Yeah, thankfully, touch wood, I've never really had much writer's block in my life, but I think that's because if I'm struggling to write something new, I just revisit something that I haven't finished. So I think that's the kind of the best way to avoid writer's block. Surely there's something kind of in the pile that you can pull out and...
Yeah. And do you have those in like copies or do you have them on your laptop or anything?
A lot of them are on old phones, just voice notes. A lot of them are in my head, which is probably isn't the best place to keep them. And a couple of them are in my laptop. But I've a lot too much in my head that I probably have forgotten lots of songs over the years, but kind of my way of thinking about it is if they're worth remembering, that I will.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, although it's very brave. I just know my memory, I forget things so quickly if I don't at least have some sort of...
I don't know what I did yesterday.
That's impressive. That's really, really cool. So you're obviously writing all the time then. You're just constantly on like a couple a day, kind of messing around writing.
Yeah. Fortunately, yeah. I'm always messing around. Lately I have found that I am remembering stuff from ages ago, and it's like, oh geez, that was nice, and start messing around, and it is nice. I've recently got my electric guitar. My electric guitar was broken for the last, since even, I'd say 2 years before COVID, so just on my acoustic, so I'm just recently back on my electric as well, which is, I don't know, even though it's a guitar as well, it's opened up a lot of different avenues for writing. I think I've found it very nice.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Even like they're very similar instruments, electric guitar and acoustic guitar.
Mm.
Writing on both of them leads to such differing...
It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah. Funny how just that one little change and it'll just spark a life of different sounding stuff.
So that's another good point for writer's block. Just mix it up with what you're writing with.
Yeah. And I see, in that case, it's very handy if you can even know how to play a few chords on guitar, or know how to play a couple of triads on the piano, understand a few chords, even if it's just in the key of C major on your keyboard, and just be able to bash out a few different chords, because you might come up with something different by using a different instrument.
Definitely.
Or if you can't play an instrument, maybe if you have your DAW open and you're in Logic and you're just clicking in, it open up the piano roll, open up a different instrument like a flute, and just click a few different notes, grab them all, quantize them into like one key, like A minor. So all the notes just automatically jump to a right key. Yeah. And then you're like, there's a random melody. And just because the sounds will be different, it might inspire you to do something differently.
It definitely does. And it's amazing. It's amazing how differently you can write if you're writing to something that sounds different to what you usually would write to. It kind of opens, even lyrically, you come up with different stuff, which is interesting.
And just on that, sorry, I know it's a bit, this is more chapter six than chapter two, but just jumping ahead, how do you make sure when you're writing your songs to make sure they're consistent? So even if you're writing with different instruments, how do you kind of keep it nice and similar?
You mean genre-wise?
Exactly, yeah. Or is that production stage, you think?
It's a funny one, because I would personally say that you shouldn't really get too bogged down about if it sounds way different to what you... I think it's good, healthy, or it's a good thing if it sounds way different to what you were going for, within reason, I suppose.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think my opinion on that one would be, if it has your vocals on it...
Yeah, yeah.
As long as it's not going through some mad vocal chain that's really different, like pitched up two octaves, it's going to be consistent enough because it's your vocal.
I think the 1975 are a great example of that, Joe. They can, if they could bring out like a country song tomorrow, and you wouldn't be like, what the fuck are they doing?
Absolutely.
They dance around a lot of genres, and no one's complaining about it.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. That's a really good example. Yeah. Consistency of your own vocals really does help. Where, like, if you're an instrumental group, it can be a little bit more difficult.
Definitely.
Yeah, trying to use the same guitar tone and everything just to make sure it's the same lead melody line. Yeah.
That is a good point, though. I think it is vocal consistency with that would definitely allow you to, I think, do whatever you want, really.
Yeah. And if you want to go more meta, because you're writing it, it's always going to be consistent because it is you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And have you ever used anything like that? As it sounds like you don't really struggle to get ideas out or with wordplay or anything like that. You're always coming up with ideas, which is very handy. You're a very talented young man. But do you ever use anything like thesauruses or Google, you know, words that rhyme with certain rhymes or anything like that? Do you use any, or dictionaries to find cool words and be like, I'm going to write a sentence with that?
Never, actually. Never used a thesaurus. I think after you've read a good book or after you've watched it, like an emotional movie, I think that kind of hour after you're just like floored by something, I think is a nice time to write. Kind of tap into that.
I love that. Do you write something with like the movie in mind and being like, I'm going to write a theme song for this movie or something like that?
I don't think, not really the story or whatever, but maybe just how you, the kind of the mood you're in after. Try and translate that into a song.
Oh, that's really cool.
Read a book called Idaho by Emily Ruskovich there a few weeks ago, and by God, I was very emotional after it. I'm not even sure if I wrote anything after it, but I tried. But anyways, that was a pointless story, but it was a good book. 93 Acres recommends.
It gave you the opportunity to write something. Oh, very good. And actually, just on the rhyming thing, do you rhyme much? Do you find it important to be consistent and to rhyme?
I think I do. I think I do. I do. I think it's important, yeah. Some people are very strict on like, oh, you can't put that word in there because you put it in the first verse or something like that. Like, I would definitely wouldn't be like that. I wouldn't be too strict on, obviously you don't really want to rhyme the same word with the same word, but overall I think that definitely rhyming, I think, ties everything together and people appreciate it.
It does make things flow really nicely. Which I suppose contrary to that, if you want things not to flow, making it not rhyme would be a good idea.
Yeah, exactly.
There's always an A and a B, the to and the fro.
Don't rhyme anything.
Yeah.
For a whole album.
And oh, tell me about the time of day. Do you write later on at night or do
Yeah, usually definitely nighttime is kind of the sweet spot, but I think if you just have your guitar usually in your peripheral vision, just kind of every time you pass by, it's nice to just pick it up and mess around.
That makes sense.
Hugh O'Neill, who you know, he borrowed one of my guitars and he put the Nashville tuning. It's like the slim strings of a 12-string pack. And you put them all on a guitar, and I have that in one of the rooms there, and it just kind of opens up. It's kind of that, I don't know, it's kind of like a banjo-y or a mandolin kind of sound, and it's kind of opens stuff up as well. So keeping little,
that's cool, keeping little
treats around for yourself to try and get you in there to write something.
That's really cool. So you've a couple of different guitars, different tunings, different sounds that you go to.
I'd actually like to go back to different tunings. I've been on standard for a while now, but I used to, years ago, I was on the whole drop D buzz, but I'm always a half a step down for some reason from my pub gigging days.
Interesting. Yeah, dad gad, D-A-D, G-A-D, the six strings, or you dad fashad, D-A-D, F sharp, A-D. That's a cool one as well. Yeah, the lads from all the luck in the world.
Yeah. God bless those boys.
They're great.
That is another way of really getting your writing, different tunings.
Yeah, because when the open strings just sound good together, it just makes you, puts you at ease. You know, it feels like no matter what you play, it'll be interesting and cool.
My God, I'm excellent.
I can play anywhere on this string, on this fret, on this keyboard. It sounds good. Yeah, it's very handy. It's like once again going back to the MIDI thing and then just quantizing everything to be in key. Yeah, yeah. And then you can never play a wrong note. It's like auto-tune for keyboard or guitar. Genius. Yeah, need to do that more often, auto-tune for a keyboard. That would be a really cool sound. I wonder if someone should try that. Auto-tune for, like, guitar.
I was being really lazy the day I auto-tuned one line of a guitar. But I used the actual voice one on it. Flat. It didn't actually sound that great, though.
No?
Ah, I just didn't want to record it again. But
that makes sense. You got to speed things up.
Yeah.
What DAW are you using at the minute?
Logic.
Oh, you use Logic. Okay.
Are you a Pro Tools guy?
No. I'm Logic too. I'm Logic true and true.
Yeah, I'd love to get better on my production, to be honest. I find it tedious. Once I have halfway of a decent demo down, I'm like, right, that's done.
I get you. Leave it to the studio.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I tell you, there's a great YouTube channel that you should check out. It's called 93 Acres. Yeah, get all your Logic Pro tutorials. You'll learn how to remake Billie Eilish in no time.
I am Billie Eilish.
Yeah, super. Okay.
I'm a believer in the old splice as well, I must say.
Oh, splice is cool.
I just think it for creating percussion kind of patterns, I think it's really nice. You can just get some mad sounds.
Would you use loops or would you chop up the loops or would you just use one shot?
I'd just find individual nice little bits and just mix them all up.
Nice. Yeah. That's actually... Oh no, what did I do? Oh yeah, for Book of Land, I actually went to use my battery 4 and I searched all the random sounds in that and found like birds and stuff and that's what's happening there and like the bridge.
There's monkeys in that as well, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Lots of just jungle sounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry, we keep talking about that song, but I really do like that song because in the bridge, it goes free time. There's no rhythm.
Yeah.
You sang the vocal free rhythm and then we dropped it back in then to go to the last chorus. So it's just a load of birds and like it's all wild because it is like wild. There's no time signature, you know. I thought that was really cool. Anyway, go us.
Go us. Go you.
We do fun things sometimes.
I have a spooky one for you. I will do a demo and see what you think.
Oh, that'd be class. Big fan of the spook.
It's in a similar, yes, it's in a similar vein. Sorry, continue.
No, absolutely. You're here to speak. We want to hear you speaking. You are the speaker.
I came here to hear you speak.
Speak. It's like, what's that? Speak. I feel like that's from something. Sing. Oh, it's Phantom of the Opera. Sing. I think it's Phantom of the Opera. Oops. There we are now. Yeah, really, we've covered a lot of stuff. So I think speaking about us writing songs together, co-writing.
Yes.
Do you do much of it?
Very little, actually. I've done it a few times, like ourselves. And a guy, Get in Wales, we've done a few songs. I'm not sure how actually in our case it was different because we were kind of both doing our own thing, which was nice. I find sometimes when you're co-writing lyrically, I'm just like, oh, I kind of wouldn't have said that, or I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
But then again, then you do also, there are pros and cons.
So let's speak our way through a few of these pros and cons, because I do find that interesting, because if you're going to be the one singing the lyrics.
Yeah.
You have to be 100% comfortable with saying those lyrics, I think.
Yeah. I think there's compromise with is the big thing, I think, with co-writing.
Yeah.
And that can be a pro and a con.
Depending on the time of day.
Yeah. Because you ultimately will get something that you wouldn't have written yourself, and that's, it can sound very cool and it brings the song in a different place. But on the con side of things, it can be like, God, I would have loved to have brought it this way, or I would have loved it to sound this, or just even that one sentence. I would have, because it kind of has to be a 50-50 thing if you're going in for it to be that way.
Yeah, absolutely, because if there isn't compromise, all it will do is have negative emotions around it, which will lead to either or both not enjoying that experience and not wanting to cooperate or co-write with that person again. Or just that song comes out sounding not as good as possibly could because either or one of the parties just loses interest or heart because they're not enjoying that process. Mm. So it's really important to have that, like, it's a person, it's a human to human thing first before you even come to the music.
Yeah.
And if the pair of co-writing or the group don't have, like, if you can't, be polite and say things in a nice way and meet each other along the road, and find the level. Well, luckily for us, we never really had any issues. It was all great.
It was good.
Full steam ahead.
I think...
I love that.
Yeah, it really was. I don't think there was no disagreements. I think for me personally, I think it's that's the way I'd like to do it. Like, Joe, you came up with the lovely beat and then I came in with the lyrics and the kind of the singing. But...
And then joined together to get the final touches on it and kind of nice little production bits here and there to kind of... And mixing bits to kind of... Make sure we're both happy at the end result, yeah.
Like with the I Dance in the Kitchen, AMAC, she had that song like start to finish, it was all done, and then I just sent in kind of a voice note to her, it must have emailed her, it was a joke verse. I was like, slap that in, which was the start of my verse in it. And she was like, fuck, that actually sounds class. So that kind of happened organically. And again, I wasn't stepping on her toes because her song was finished. So I just slotted in my own verse.
That's really cool. I love that. Just throwing something out just to see what they think and not even forcing it down their throat. Just like, oh, this is cool. I thought this kind of worked. Mm. there you are if you have any interest. Sneaky. And then leave it in the bottom there, pop, park. Sneaky is right. But that's a great song. But AMAC, they're super.
Yeah.
Aoife, isn't it? She's great as well.
She's amazing. Yeah. She's class.
Yeah. Really, really good. The talent in Ireland is actually mad. So many great people.
The talent in Maynooth alone, will you stop?
I tell you, yup the town, yup Sligo, yup Galway, yup Dublin, yup Cork, bye, Limerick City.
And it is insane the amount of amazing bands and songwriters and even artists, photographers, everything in Ireland. It's booming at the moment, which is class.
But I do feel our culture, for the most part, maybe not politically, although they're bringing in, you know, funding for artists at the minute, but we'll see how that goes. But I think culturally, people do really appreciate arts and really respect, like, oh wow, look how good that person is at dancing. Look how great that person can play that instrument. Look how good of a singer that person is. Look how great their tree carving is, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like it's encouraged at young ages, and like it's practiced in schools, you know. A lot of the school budget is to put up to get singing lessons or to learn a new language, which helps in turn to get the brain thinking creatively.
Definitely.
You know, so I feel like it is, there is a reason why Ireland has, you know, has so many amazingly talented people in such a small area.
Yeah, it is class. Like it's always lovely to see the interaction between tourists when they come over here. Like they're kind of bombarded by art in a lovely way.
And it's great as well for the cooperating or co-writing that there are so many people you can work with.
Yeah, definitely.
And there might be some people who you might love their songwriting style, but you might not see eye to eye to them when you're writing together, so it might not work. But so you can try and work with new people and find new friends that you can write songs with. And there's bound to be lots of people that you can co-write with where you're going to learn new things and you're going to be put in new situations, which I suppose is all about that idea of growth. Like songwriting, it's all about growth, like you writing all the time, writing every day as much as you can and trying new instruments. It's just about growth and self-improvement. And I think co-writing is a big part of that because you can be put in a situation that you're not used to and figure your way out of it. Have you ever been put in weird situations writing in a situation like maybe it was an assignment in college or even since then that you're like co-writing, which has been interesting and you've seen something new?
I suppose it's kind of, I did one a few months back and it was really like as pop can be. And for me, I was just like, oh God, I don't know. But then afterwards, I was like, that's a pretty nice pop song. but at the time, I was like, oh God, would I sing that? I'm not too sure. But
you were getting to sing it as well.
Well, I just did for the demo or whatever. But I think it's for that kind of writing puzzle was trying to write as pop a song could be, but while trying to make it interestingly fresh. I suppose that's what everyone's trying to do, but when you're writing in that genre, it's how the hell do you make that genre different is the question, while keeping it to the formula that works.
Yeah, absolutely. It is interesting. And actually, speaking of the formula, are there any other types of formulas that you've used? I know you mentioned earlier that you usually stick to the first chorus, bridge, chorus style, which works really well, and there's no disagreeing with that. Do you ever start with choruses, or do you ever just shorten the song and just go verse chorus outro or something?
I've a lot of songs recently I've just cut out the middle eight. We have a little just a little musical break and then back in. I used to like overthink that middle eight section, like what will I put in there, how will it sound. Sometimes you just get rid of it, it's easier if you're just really liking the song anyway. Sometimes it doesn't need anything else. And as I said before, I think verse two, either have a different sounding verse two, I think is always nice, or a longer, more intricate verse two, I think is quite nice as well.
Absolutely. And I think interesting on the intricate bit, that's something I've heard a lot about, keeping verses interesting and choruses interesting by either using different rhythms. Mm. Like one of them might be slightly more syncopated, so the accent of the vocal is off the beat.
Yeah.
Or it might be on the beat for the chorus or vice versa. And where the second verse can stay, get a little bit, you know, refresh it. And if you refresh the second verse enough, then I think it comes to what you're saying. Like you don't need the middle eight so much because you've refreshed the song there. It's nearly like a bridge thing itself.
Definitely. If you have a...
Keeping it fresh.
If you have a cracker of an opening line, then have your verse one chorus, maybe you like mess around with your verse two chorus, and then your little middle eight could just be a little revisit to that cracker one line, then back into the final chorus. It's another little simple way of doing it, I think. Quite nice.
That's cool. Nice, that's really I really like that. And what about pre-choruses? Just that little extra thing to get you going for the chorus. I know that's a very pop thing.
I'm very bad at pre-choruses. I think I'm just a go-to, hang the chord and just sing a little line and then back just straight in. I'm trying to think, do I have many pre-choruses? Not too sure. If I do, they're just kind of hangs and just kind of a little pregnant pause.
But I tell you what, like, your tunes are so good. Myself and my housemate here, we do be bopping to a bit of Seba Safe quite regularly, I have to say. And we have been for the last... What song did you bring out? I'm just going to open up your Spotify really quickly, because you brought out a song, I think it might have been like a year and a half ago, and I'm trying to remember what, and I had it on non-stop here in the house for ages.
You must be on that.
Oh, I want is so good.
And you are on that, sir.
Am I?
You're on that whole EP, I think. I don't think there's one song on that you're not on.
Oh, that's the one you Calvin produced for you.
Yeah, all those years ago.
Oh, wow. That's so funny. That was a really long time ago.
Yeah, I was sitting on those songs for so long. And then the more time that went on that I hadn't released them, I started panicking. I was like, God. And then I had some people saying, just leave them and just kind of go with your newer songs. And then I just said, no, I'm going to release them last year. And then that Map Runner song got on New Music Friday, and that's what got me the record deal I just signed. So,
wow.
Follow your heart, kids.
Record deal. He's made it big. Ed Sheeran, here we come. I think the other one was Lament. I think that's so good.
Oh, man.
Good.
That all the little bits you have in that song are just beautiful.
It's a fun one.
The little plucky bits are so nice. The delays on them. Kelvin Barr, what a man.
Yeah, he's also from All the Luck in the World.
He is.
I tell you, they've their hands everywhere and all the pies. Such a talented bunch. Drip. I love that song. Oh, it's funny. You just have an In Waiting acoustic, of course. That blew up as well. Really, really good. You've so many great tunes. I think the thing you have really down to a T is just that catchy hook. And even though it's not like your pop... You see, you could make your songs into a very pop thing if you wanted to, but like, I know that's not what your style is. But they have such wordplay and they catch the listener like, oh, that's interesting, that's funny, or whatever, you know. You're always catching people with the quick one-liners.
I think...
The quick wit.
I think eventually I will get... I am writing a bit more poppy these days. Like, the EP I'm releasing now, The Oscars, was the first song on. It's definitely... I've definitely taken a few step backs to my kind of acoustic, kind of more folkier sounding days. Even one of the songs on it is actually 10 years old, which is crazy.
Wow.
But I have all these newer kind of indie poppy ones that I can't wait to record very soon. They're a coming.
I actually can't wait to listen to them. You just don't miss.
I don't know about that now.
Because I think you have a really hard, you've got a really high bar of like, what would you call it? Quality, you know. You just won't release things unless they're good enough quality, and everything you have released has been severely good. But that's probably because everything you write has been very, very good.
This is definitely the scariest EP I've ever released, because I feel like it is kind of a lot. It's very far removed from what I'm writing at the moment. It is a lot of them are kind of older songs and even an older sound. But I suppose they're important. They got me to where I am in terms of writing stages now. So. Be rude not to release them.
This is it, especially when they're class. And just some final thoughts then. So, would you have any advice to absolute beginners that are just starting out their songwriting career?
I think avoid writing stuff that you think people will like to listen to. If you're writing stuff that you think sounds class, I think that's the key. It doesn't even have to sound class, but if you're happy with it. And you're saying, God, that you're listening back and say, this is something I would personally would listen to. I think that's the key. And you're happy with how it sounds yourself, rather than saying, oh, I'm going to write this song for a radio or for as a brief for Billie Eilish or something. I think if you're honestly happy with yourself and how it sounds, you're onto a winner.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You are your first fan. You are your first audience member. You don't like it. You might as well stop there.
Buy yourself a good mirror, kid.
Give it a nice bit of sheen there. Bit of elbow grease. Nice and clean. Take a look at yourself. Yeah, no, that I love that one. That makes so much sense. Really, really good. And do you have a personal favorite bit of songwriting advice that you got told that you were like, ah, oh, that really helped?
I suppose the good old fashioned, if you're not having fun, there's something wrong. If you're putting too much pressure on yourself to be writing, or if this has to be amazing. Though the whole point really ultimately is having fun. Obviously you want to succeed, but you won't do that if you're putting yourself under a crazy amount of pressure. So have fun.
Yeah, that's something I can get behind. I like fun. We like to have fun here. Oh, that's so good. Now let's have a bit more fun and tell people where they can have extra fun listening to you and find you. What are the socials?
You can find me on all social media platforms. I suppose Instagram. I've recently reluctantly joined the TikTok crowd.
I love TikTok. You're doing well. You're getting there.
Fuck. I don't know. I need to figure out what to do. I'm just going to start just pre-recording. Just do guitar loops, and I'm going to do some vocal, a lot of vocal loops. I think that'll... I don't know what to do on it, to be honest. I'm terrible on my phone. If I didn't have to have a phone, I wouldn't. But anyways, yeah. You can find me on anything like that. And music-wise, Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, Tidal, SoundCloud, Amazon Music, Apple Music.
Bandcamp.
I have t-shirts and music for sale on Bandcamp.
And they can search Seba Safe, S-E-B-A space S-A-F-E.
Yeah. Seba Safe. Yes, sir.
He's about to blow up, so get in quick before it's too late. But no, genuinely, I'm such a big fan. Your tunes are amazing. Like, always impressed with everything you do. You have such, like, music integrity. I don't know if that's a thing. But, like, you only do things you like, and you really put a lot of effort into your music. And you can always tell because it's so good.
Thank you, sir. And it's thank you for all of your help and support over the last few years. I love you, boy.
I love you. But it's easy to support someone that's that good and puts the work in, you know. It's a cruel world out there.
I'll send you a sneaky listen to my EP2 proposal and see, well, it'll be my third EP actually, before it goes into studio, to see what you can do with it.
Yeah, absolutely. We like Strangs. We love Strangs.
We love Strangs.
Strangs are good for me. All right, no better place to leave it.
Thank you very much, sir.
Mike.
Hugh, 93 Acres. Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure and great to see you as always.
Yes, what a pleasure. In person next time soon, I hope.
With the lovely pints of Guinness.
Oh, would be a pleasure. The pleasure would be all mine.
Well, thank you. Pints are on you.
I never said that.
it's on the record.
That's it. Jokes. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. I will talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Cheers.
Lovely.